The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Katra AI. Welcome back. We are jumping straight into a really essential deep dive today.
Yeah, we are.
We're focusing on what I think is one of the most important history books published in, well, the last decade or so.
Definitely.
Jill Lepore's huge survey, These Truths, A History of the United States.
It is a monumental book and honestly a really timely deep dive for you, our listener.
Mm-hmm.
Lepore uses that phrase, you know, these truths, right, from the Declaration of Independence. That's her central idea.
Right.
But she treats it like a question, really. She asks, okay, how have these three big founding ideals, equality, rights, and popular sovereignty, how have they been constantly argued over?
Fought about.
Yeah, contested, often betrayed since 1776.
So our mission today is really to unpack her core argument, which is that the history of the U.S. isn't some, you know, tidy story of inevitable progress forward.
No, not at all.
It's a continuous, often really messy argument. And if we can get a handle on how that central contradiction at the founding,
liberty and slavery side by side,
exactly how that shaped pretty much every single debate that came after it. Well, then we get this crucial historical lens, a lens for looking at our current political polarization and, let's face it, the very real crisis of truth we seem to be dealing with now.
It really is the ultimate shortcut, maybe, to understanding why certain arguments just keep coming back again and again in American politics.
Okay, so let's start with the guide herself, Jill Lepore. I mean, she's kind of uniquely position to write a national history with this kind of ambition, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. She's the David Woods Kemper 41 professor of American history at Harvard. So, you know, serious academic.
Yeah.
Rigorous.
Right.
But, and this is where it gets really interesting, I think she's also a staff writer at The New Yorker.
Which isn't just a fun fact.
No, not at all. It's key to why the book works so well. She takes all this deep, heavy, multi-sourced academic research, the kind of stuff that usually just stays in university libraries.
Yeah, buried in footnotes.
Exactly. And she synthesizes it, boils it down into this, well, beautifully written, totally accessible narrative for the public.
She doesn't dumb it down, though. The complexity is still there.
Not at all. But the narrative just flows. It moves like a really compelling story. And this dual role lets her connect the past right to the present.
Which makes her kind of the perfect historian to write this kind of story for, well, for us now in this really divided 21st century moment.
And she's clear about how she sees history, too.
Mm.
Not just a pile of facts that are all settled.
Right. More like a field of questions.
A field of continuous inquiry and argument. That's her view.
What's fascinating, too, is how the book itself sort of models the behavior she thinks democracy needs.
How do you mean?
Well, she practices history as this pursuit of evidence, of verifiable truth. And she contrasts that with, you know, the easy comfort of just believing myths or propaganda.
I see. So she's showing, not just telling.
Yeah. She's clear. History is an argument. And being a citizen means being honest when you participate in that argument.
Okay, let's dig into the scope then. It's massive.
Yeah.
Starts in 1492.
All the way up to 2016. And the central argument is that those truths from the Declaration, they were never really self-evident in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, U.S. history is this complex, cyclical thing, often tragic. You get these moments of progress, sure, but they're almost immediately followed by fierce backlash, retrenchment, retreat.
And the single, like, defining feature across this whole vast sweep of time, 400 years, is that core paradox.
The nation conceived in liberty and equality,
while building itself on brutal structural slavery. Lepore argues this wasn't just some minor flaw, some inconsistency.
Yeah.
It was the explosive structural core of the whole American project, and it basically guaranteed future conflict.
And what I think really elevates this book beyond just standard political history is how she weaves in technology and communication.
Right, that's crucial.
She argues the struggle to actually realize these truths, equality, rights, you can't separate that from the struggle over the nature of truth itself.
How we find facts, how we check them.
How they get communicated, and yeah, critically, how they get twisted or weaponized.
And she traces this journey right from the printing press, which, you know, helped spread revolutionary ideas, all the way up to the internet, which she argues has sort of fractured our common reality.
It's this interpretation that sees the entire American story as this unending debate, but the flavor of the debate, the rules of it, change every time the communication medium changes.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, let's try and unpack this huge journey through the four parts of the book. Idea, People, State, and Machine, starting with part one. The Idea, which covers 1492 to 1799. This is where she really sets up that founding paradox, right? Centering on Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, and it's pretty jarring to read her description of the founding. I mean, the Declaration was radical, absolutely.
Groundbreaking.
But the cognitive dissonance of its main author, Jefferson, writing, "All men are created equal," while he himself enslaved hundreds of people. The Poor argues that creates the central hypocrisy, this fundamental lie that gets baked in right at the start.
Baked into the Constitution itself.
Exactly. The Constitution didn't fix the problem. It actually codified the compromises that protected slavery.
Which leads me to ask, does Lepore give any sense that the Civil War could have been avoided? Or does she really present it as like an almost inevitable result of the choices made back then in part one?
I think she strongly implies it was inevitable. Maybe not the specifics, but the conflict itself.
Because they compromised on basic human dignity.
Right. For the sake of political unity, they essentially kicked this structural time bomb down the road. They built a political structure that basically guaranteed a permanent and ultimately bloody disagreement over who even counts as a citizen.
Which brings us right into part two, the people, running from 1800 to 1865. So if part one defined the flawed ideal, this part is the agonizing century-long fight over who actually belongs in that phrase, we the people.
Mm-hmm. And you see this expansion of political rights, right? Jacksonian democracy. Suffrage expands pretty quickly for most white men.
Yeah, but.
But, and this is Lepore's key point, this expansion happens at the exact same time as the brutal policy of Indian removal.
So one group's being brought into the political system.
While another group is being violently thrown out, it's a perfect, if tragic, illustration of how progress for one group often came directly at the expense of another.
And yet this era also sparks these incredible social movements, people who dare to call out the hypocrisy.
You get the abolitionists, obviously, figures like Frederick Douglass, basically just demanding the nation live up to its own promises.
You've got him up a mirror.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And don't forget the women's rights movement kicking off at Seneca Falls. Elizabeth Cady Stanton basically hacks the Declaration's language.
Repurposing all men to include women, directly challenging the system.
Yeah. And these movements, using pamphlets, newspapers, the media of their day, they just intensify the debate until, well, the Civil War becomes the ultimate violent showdown over that original paradox.
Okay, so moving past the war and the failure of Reconstruction, we get into part three, the state, which is 1866 to 1945. This charts a huge expansion of federal power.
Yeah, but the tragedy here is how that failure of Reconstruction led straight into the terror and the whole system of Jim Crow across the South.
A massive step backward.
Definitely. But then, as the U.S. becomes this industrial powerhouse, the big political arguments start to shift. Less about race explicitly, more about massive economic inequality.
And this is where the progressive movement comes in.
Right. Arguing for an activist government. Regulate the giant corporations, protect workers, you know the drill.
And this period culminates in FDR's New Deal. Lepore shows how this era just completely redefined the social contract in America.
Mm-hmm.
The government took on this unprecedented responsibility for the economic well-being of its citizens, setting up the basic framework for the social safety net we're still arguing about today.
It was a massive expansion of what the state was supposed to do, for better or worse, depending on your view.
Which leads us to the final section, part four, The Machine, from 1946 right up to 2016. And here, the central force shifts again, its technology.
First, the Cold War's military-industrial complex, she argues. But then, critically, the machines of mass communication, data, polling.
Right, you see the triumphs of the civil rights movement in this period.
Absolutely. But also, a really fierce conservative backlash against the growing power of the liberal state that the New Deal had built.
But the really profound insight here, and this is so relevant for us listening today, is about the fracturing of truth.
Yeah. Lepore charts how the rise of political polling, TV spectacle, how that started shifting political power away from, like, organized political parties.
The old bosses and machines.
Right. And towards media consultants, toward carefully crafted TV broadcasts. Image becomes more important.
Exactly. And that structural change, she argues, laid the groundwork for what happened with the internet and social media.
Which, instead of creating this amazing, better-informed public...
Which was the early promise, right.
Yeah, the utopian dream. Instead, she argues, these machines accelerated polarization, they eroded trust in shared institutions, like the press or science, and most critically, they created what she calls the epistemological crisis.
Okay, that's a big term. Let's pause on that. epistemological crisis. What does she mean by that exactly? It's not just fake news, is it?
No, it's deeper than that. It's a breakdown in our fundamental agreement on how we know what's real or true.
Like the basic rules of evidence.
Exactly. If we can't even agree on a shared set of facts or the methods we use to determine facts, how can democracy possibly function? You can't have a debate.
And she sees the 2016 election not as some weird fluke.
Not an aberration, no. But as the culmination of these really long-term trends, the sort of total decay of a common factual basis supercharged by the digital machine.
Wow. That historical perspective is what makes the book so incredibly valuable right now. Okay, let's try to boil this down. What are the key themes she really wants us, the listeners, to take away?
Okay, first, definitely the enduring American paradox.
Yep.
That foundational conflict, liberty versus slavery, it's still the main plot thread, you know?
Still running through everything.
Yeah, fueling modern debates over racial justice, voting rights, inequality. And understanding that paradox means we have to be honest about the past to even begin addressing the present.
Makes sense. Okay, second theme.
History as an unending argument. American history isn't a finished story. It's this constant struggle over what equality means, what the government's role should be. And progress isn't linear. It's almost always followed by some kind of backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And the reflection there is pretty powerful, I think. It means dissent, debate. They're not signs that democracy is failing. They're actually signs of civic life.
Right, they're inherent to it.
The danger comes when we lose the shared vocabulary, or like we just said, the shared facts, to even have the debate productively.
Okay. And the third theme?
It's the one we just discussed. Technology's transformation of truth. Every new communication medium, printing press, radio, TV, internet, creates a new political reality. And often, it seems, undermines whatever shared factual basis existed before.
So the application for you listening right now is pretty immediate, isn't it?
Yeah. Enhanced media literacy. We have to constantly question the bias built into every medium, especially social media algorithms. Recognize that these platforms often profit from fragmenting our shared sense of reality.
It's a call to be critical consumers of information.
Definitely.
Lepore is also really gifted at boiling down these huge historical ideas into really sharp, memorable lines. Let's touch on a few of those key ideas, paraphrase.
Okay. Well, she says something like, the American experiment has been a dispute between a devotion to facts and evidence on one hand and a devotion to faith and mystery on the other.
So the conflict is fundamentally about how we know things, science versus myth.
Exactly. What counts as knowledge. Then, on the founding, she states very clearly, the Constitution did not resolve the paradox of slavery and freedom. It embedded it, setting the stage for a century of conflict.
Which really underlines that idea of the Civil War being almost baked in from the start.
Mm-hmm. And then, jumping way forward to the modern era, she observes something like, a new quantum politics, a politics of broadcast, replaced a politics of party.
Which perfectly captures that shift we talked about, from political organization to media spectacle, image over substance, maybe.
Yeah, performance becomes key. And finally, this one feels like a real call to action today. The work of democracy is the work of making equality more equal.
Ah, I like that. It reminds us democracy isn't some finished thing we inherit.
No, it's a project. It requires constant effort, constant maintenance, constant trying to expand who's included.
These insights really lead us directly into how we can apply this knowledge, right? Practical applications for being citizens today.
For sure. The most important one is probably informed citizenship. When you hear a political debate, now maybe it's about voting rights or the power of the federal government versus states' rights or the Supreme Court's role.
Yeah.
You realize after reading Lepore, these aren't new arguments. They're just the latest versions of debates that have been raging since 1776.
No.
They're all rooted in that original paradox.
Understanding the history gives you depth.
Exactly. It lets you move beyond the simple, you know, partisan talking points you hear on cable news.
Mm.
You can engage with more nuance. You recognize you're part of this centuries-long national argument, not just reacting to today's outrage.
That's empowering, actually. And the second application.
It's about cultivating a kind of mature patriotism. The book encourages us to see political disagreement as necessary, even healthy, for democracy.
But
it also warns that for that debate to actually work, to not just tear everything apart, we have to maintain some commitment to a shared set of facts, to reality.
So it offers a path to patriotism that isn't blind flag waving.
Right. It's a patriotism that doesn't ignore the country's flaws and contradictions, but actually grapples with them honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Lepore seems to suggest that real love for your country means demanding it live up to its own highest ideals. the inclusive ones it once claimed.
You know, what really stuck with me reading this again for our chat was just the sheer weight of that founding hypocrisy. It's one thing to know about Jefferson and slavery intellectually, but to see Lepore lay it out as the structural flaw that shaped literally everything that followed, it makes you realize just how long America has been trying to dig itself out of that original hole.
Yeah. And if we connect that to the bigger picture, the really valuable lesson here is just how fragile American democracy is.
It's not guaranteed.
Not at all. It's a contingent project. It's constantly under construction, constantly needs defending, and its survival depends entirely on citizens being active, informed, and continuously committed to making those lofty founding ideals, equality, truth, actually real and more inclusive for everyone.
It's a history that serves as, well, both a vital education and a pretty stark warning, I think, an essential lens for anyone trying to make sense of America today.
Absolutely.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Accotra Foundation.